Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Taryn Armstrong, your host. I'm filling in for Rob Sesternino, who is out doing a very cool Game of Thrones thing. I'm here to fill in the void. We're also missing Scott St. Pierre, who is usually behind the scenes. The lunatics have taken over the asylum. It's all of the LFC. We were also scheduled to have Alex Willett on with us, but unfortunately, she is not feeling well. So instead, I've brought on both Melissa and our Alex Tidwell. How are you doing, Alex?
It's den of things, and things are happening. People are sick in places, and we're taking it all over.
The season is truly cursed. It's truly cursed. Melissa, temptation. Are you planning on eating meatballs for lunch?
No, I am not. No, there's been way too many meatball references that now I don't know who they're referring to in the house when they call someone a meatball. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. Like, they actually ate meatballs today, I think. So now I'm just doubly confused.
I have it on good authority that a meatball is, in fact, referring to our third guest here tonight. It's Brent Wagemont. How you doing, Brent?
Good, Taryn. I just want you to know that all I do is work with numbers. You give me an equation, I can figure it out. How do you add this shit up? Like, what? Like, what was that?
You got to get to 19.
That was great.
Hard stuff.
He walked in the room, or when they gave him the buzzer, he was like, what?
Yeah. Ramsey's he's a fellow. So we are here to talk about the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother 19, the veto episode. It's a lovely time here. Big Brother 19. It's been a great week, hasn't it? Been a fantastic week, right, Brent?
Yes, again, sarcastic Taryn is back. Yes. No, it's been a freaking terrible week. Nothing's happening on the feeds. There has been a little bit of movement in some spoilers things that we'll eventually talk about, but this has been a very straightforward week. There were some people poo-pooing this plan earlier, given Paul's insistence on wanting to go through with the plan, along with Christmas getting the ring of replacement, which wasn't even mentioned in the veto draw tonight, and I feel like there's a reason why, there was smooth sailing ahead for a plan get Cody out.
Yes. So just for everyone to let you know, we have the chat room open on robhasawebsite.com, and if you want to send in questions, Alex will be monitoring them with the hashtag RHAP. So send those in, and we will answer those in the latter half of the show. Let's talk about this.
Keep them coming. Yeah. All the twits.
Is that like a tweet thing?
Well, it's just really quickly about that. On the advertisement tonight, I looked at the bottom and it said votes will be taken until July 19th. So they're definitely not doing Den of Temptation this coming week. So that why is what I want to know.
I've had some people message theories at me. One such theory is that because Megan was evicted already, they needed a certain amount of people, or they wanted a certain amount of people in the house when this temptation went into the house in order for it to work in the right way, I guess. So they're postponing it because they had already had somebody who was evicted. I don't know. It's confusing to me. I don't know why they would do this.
Okay. All right.
But let's get started. The thing that stood out to me immediately when we were listening to this this recap was that they called Jess Lady Liberty. I mean, since when is Jessica Lady Liberty?
I can't even hear this.
That one time they made a big deal of her wearing an American flag, and Cody said she wrapped herself in freedom.
Is that right? Really? Yeah. What they were
because,
going for with that?
Well, it's like, the four of us, we've watched hours and hours and hours and hours of live feeds, but what do we really have on the TV show so far, right? Like 90 hours of Paul, and we have like three defining scenes, maybe at best, of everyone else. And one of those, which we saw like in good chunk in the episode, and then again as a sting before another episode, was Cody saying something about that American flag. So yeah, my guess is that's all we're going with there, because that's like almost all we know about Jessica on the show.
The producers must have thought that was like so funny or something. Like, it was just so hysterical that he said she wrapped herself in freedom. But like, that was such a throwaway moment to me. I like totally spaced on it.
Like, oh, and it's 4th of July too. Did you guys think about that? Oh my God. Wow.
Whoa.
So many levels.
I have sympathy for them, because I feel like I probably also make a lot of obscure inside jokes from podcasts that we've done that nobody gets. It certainly happens to me on the American Ninja Warrior podcast a lot. But yes, yeah, this, like, I mean, the
Undercats joke. At this point, well, it's really
everybody
funny.
Everybody knows the Undercats
no,
joke.
No, you think that, but it's funny to see people be like, oh, yeah, he's an Undercat. And everyone's like, yeah, he's an underdog. And you're like, right. No. It's an Undercat.
Yeah, pay attention. This episode was like 90% Paul, Cody, Jessica, Kevin, and Ramses, right? There was like nobody else. Am I wrong, Brent?
I wouldn't even really consider Kevin as part of that 90%. I mean, he had one scene where and it was sort of just like for gags and laughs. Like, you know, Taryn, am I getting old? I mean, I feel like I'm getting old. What were you saying? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. That was the whole thing, Taryn. Yes.
Well, hey, he had a great, you know, calling Paul. He has more necklaces than 2 Chainz. I don't even know who 2 Chainz is. I don't know how Kevin knows who 2 Chainz is. Alex, do you know who 2 Chainz is?
I do. He's a rapper. And you would think by definition he would have 2 Chainz. But in fact, he usually tends to sport quite a bit more. So it was very good. I appreciate
that
it.
That seems very contradictory. Why would you name yourself 2 Chainz? If
all
you
right, we've lost the
two
plot. Chains? Yes, thank
good
you.
Good question there.
I also enjoyed Paul calling Kevin Al Capone. I feel like that's a very appropriate name for Paul.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I like that too. Kevin.
But yes, so to set this week up, we have Ramses and Alex and Josh on the block. The plan is in place to backdoor Cody. And there was a lot of explanation happening. You know, okay, so this is what's happening. The reason why Cody isn't up on the block is because there's a backdoor plan in place. How a backdoor works is that these people are playing the veto. Cody has less of a chance to play in the veto. But the problem is that Ramses is up on the block because of a curse. And so if Ramses wins the veto, then nobody comes off. Nobody gets replaced on the block. So then Paul can't go after Cody. And that's because of stipulations based on the curse. And at this point, I'm thinking, what casual fan is understanding a word of what's happening? Like, I don't know. Like, it was like half the episode is exposition, Melissa.
It was, a large amount of the episode was Paul explaining things too. They didn't really give other people a chance to explain. It was mostly just Paul explaining. And that gets very tiresome after a while, especially because he prefaces all of his explanations with, oh, and then we have the veto, and Ramses can't put himself up. Oh, too many O's.
Oh, my plans are going to get soiled. Oh, yeah. Oh no.
And, you know, plans are soiled.
A couple of people definitely pointed out to us on Twitter that, you know, if you add up the time that Paul was talking about it in the diary room and the time he was playing it, like, definitely spent more time with Paul doing that competition than Paul spent doing that competition based on the time that we got at the end there.
Like, I think that's legit.
There's no way that was 4 minutes.
I want somebody to go back in time when Paul starts, when he presses the button to when it ends in the edited episode. And
I bet
see
it's
if
three
it
times
actually,
that.
Yeah. Well, it's not 3 times it, but I bet it's like close to 5 minutes. Like, this could be the first real-time veto competition we've seen outside of Big Brother OTT. If anything, they padded that competition with extra diary rooms. It was just packed with jokes. But we also we see the vetoeds come into play. Christmas in the previous episode had chosen Jessica, Cody, and Jason to receive the vetoed curse, and this was one of the best segments of the night, I guess, watching Cody in have to get up in a frog suit, right, Brent?
Yeah, this was one of the best segments because of the way that they did it. I mean, a little bit of magic and special effects never hurt anyone as a lifelong fan of Charmed. I thought it was very cool how they picked up the voodoo dolls and just had to stand there. And when they picked them up and they just stood there, I knew what was going to happen. I was like, oh my God, they're going to magically change them into vetoeds. And sure enough, they did.
It's funny you reference Charmed because I feel like this special effect was straight out of a, you know, what was it, like late 90s TV show?
It was very close. Very close. So,
so they have to dress up as frogs and they have to hop around everywhere. They can only be on lily pads. I really enjoyed Cody's just blank stare. I don't mind it very much, actually. It looked like he was having some fun hopping around, right, Melissa?
When you do your Cody impression, I never know if your screen has just frozen or if you're still there or not, because you just stand so still.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, right? Is Taryn still there? Do we need to talk? Like, what's going on?
It's my favorite impression.
It is a good one. I did think it was really funny how Cody, in the end of the episode, was saying, all these guys are betas and Paul and I are alphas while he's wearing this giant toad head. I was like, oh my God. That is, yeah, Cody, you're a real alpha in that outfit.
Alex, are you an alpha or a beta?
I'm an alpha who poses as a beta so that other Ooh. People will handle my shit, Taryn.
So
that's how I like to think of myself.
If Alex Kidwell was in the house, it would be Alex versus Paul versus Cody, and everyone else would be betas.
That's
good.
Sure. You know,
sounds plausible to me.
I can let him think I'm a snowflake if he wants. If that's what he needs on his way out the door before jury, then that's fine. That's where he's headed.
Joseph in the chat says the betas are frogs, the alphas are toads. How about that?
Is that what it is? I thought it was like a water land thing.
It could be. Maybe betas are all in the water.
Now we're on another tangent.
Yeah, Jason really he really owned this role as a frog. It seemed like he was enjoying it. He said when Jessica said that this was the most embarrassing thing that she's ever done in her entire life, Jason was like, no, not even close for me. Brent, can you relate to this?
Solo, you can't hear me. I'm sorry, I thought it was so stupid. I was like, what is that? It was very fun. I will say that they're watching them on the feeds. The frog hopping or the toad hopping has gone down considerably. They're sort of half hop walking to the lily pads now, not really hopping all that much. So Jason still does it occasionally, but their enthusiasm has been reduced.
Yeah, they're like barely like hop stepping at this point.
They're like sashaying.
Yeah. Not to get into spoiler territory. I know that everyone's on the edge of their seats about the hopping.
Hey, we haven't, the frogs, don't get into how they're walking. It's too soon.
We
saw lots of lovey scenes between Cody and Jessica while dressed as frogs. Did you enjoy this even more as when they were dressed as frogs, Melissa, or less?
I don't think I've ever really enjoyed the romantic scenes on the show. So, you know. Costume, I was not really feeling the love scene.
I have to
what
say,
about when they're narrated by that guy?
And I feel like even on, I guess, I don't know. They didn't even show the moment. They showed like the scene where Cody kind of had tears in his eyes, but they didn't really show the part where he actually had tears in his eyes that you could kind of see on the feed. So, you know, I thought they kind of did him a disservice unless they're trying to keep up this, persona of he has no emotions and he's a robot and everything, which I guess is kind of the thing.
Yeah,
I'm just hearing
going over
love.
The top under the lily pad.
Yeah, Brent, did you have something to say about Cody and Jess?
No, the moment has passed. Sorry.
Okay.
I keep getting interrupted. I feel like somebody's lagging. So if you're prone to interrupting, I just feel like maybe wait a second because I'm just saying. So I feel like someone's lagging. I'm just saying. That's all.
Somebody asked earlier, who's the alpha of the LFC? And I think we just found out.
Yeah, I can't really keep my opinions to myself on that one. Yes,
I vote for
it. So Ramses is in a precarious situation here. Paul is pushing very hard to have Ramses throw this veto. And Ramses is thinking, I don't know. This doesn't seem like the right thing to do. And he comes up with this terrible excuse. I promised my mom and my sister that I would never throw a competition, which really brought me back. If you have listened to the Butt First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary, we talked about Kent, who was in the car in the very first episode. He promised his wife that if there was a car to win, he would win it. And it seems like such a specific scenario. You really promised your sister and your mom that you would never throw any competition. I'm not sure that this is fun. This is ringing true to me, Alex.
Yeah, you know, it seems to be in stark contrast to the things he was saying directly before he goes to compete, which is like, I don't know that I can do this. You know, then he's saying after, you know, that he threw this, which I don't know what to believe at this point. You know what I mean? And it's tough. I mean, I believe that he probably said that to his mom and his brother and all that, but I don't believe that that's a reason to not do something in the Big Brother house. And I certainly don't believe it's something you say to other people. But then, you know, did he actually throw it? I kind of think maybe he did.
Yes,
what do you think?
I agree. I think he did. And here's the reason why. Because he was like making jokes while he was completing some of those challenges. If he was actually trying to win it, he would have just zoomed right through them. He's not going to talk about karate chopping and, you know, making noises while he's getting rid of the yellow blocks in the challenge. Like, I really do feel like he tried to badly throw this challenge, but his nature was to just have fun and enjoy it. And in doing so, he accumulated a time of about 7 minutes.
And also, I guess, didn't he like not have to do that like food one with like the people laying on you, which took like probably by far the longest? Like, those were not all equal, right? Like, chopping them blocks takes a lot less time than chugging down pate with like a 250-pound hairy guy like trying to lean up in you. So that's just, you know, this is not a, you know, created equal. And so as a result, I mean, if you skip that one, you probably end up with like a pretty good time. So yeah, and he's
You have no incentive to stay in the ice water more than any longer than it takes. I mean, like, you might jump in, but then when you realize how cold it is, you're like, bitch, I got to get out. Like, let me find this thing. So there was no way he was going to be able to make this look good unless he literally just sat in the terminal and looked as the clock ticked by, which
he
didn't do.
Well, that's what Paul wanted him to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Paul wanted him to time out.
If Beast Mode Cowboy is capable of sitting down in the middle of a competition, then certainly Ramses is, correct?
Yeah, but
I'm feeling like the Shades of Steve right now, though.
I wouldn't sit out a veto competition if I'm on the block. There's no way I'd throw it. There's no guarantee. If Jordan Barr can do it.
If he can pretend to sleep during competition.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it does seem, but this, you know, it does seem like Ramses did throw this, but if this is a question, right? If you were in Ramsey's position here, Melissa, think about this. If you were in Ramsey's position, would you throw this competition? Because it does seem like the target is clearly Cody. As long as you don't win the veto, Cody should be on the block. He should be going home. It's an easy way to get through this. Literally every single person in the house, there's not one person who wants you to win the veto. Is this a situation, a very rare instance, where you actually should be throwing the veto?
I don't know. I wouldn't throw it. I would never risk throwing it, because I can't even imagine if I were to go home, if something were to happen and Cody were to get in their good graces or whatever, and I would end up going home on a situation where I could have tried for the veto, I would never forgive myself. So there's no way I would throw it. And I would tell Paul, you know this game, you're a fan of this game. As a fan of this game, I can't just throw the veto. You know, and either way, like, they don't like Ramses anyway. He's next on the chopping block. So who cares? It's not like they're his alliance and he's like trying to make it up to his alliance. These guys don't care about him at all. And he knows it.
Yeah. And Nate Hall in the chat points out that I am, in fact, incorrect. There are two people who would have loved to see Ramses win that veto, in Jessica and Cody. But the rest of the house does not want it to happen.
Yeah, also,
but
clearly Ramses' mom and brother, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there is a good possibility that Ramses should have won the veto and tried to use it on himself. And actually, I think that might have been his better move, because there are at least five people, Cody, Jessica, Alex, and Jason. Actually, maybe not Alex, but maybe even Josh, somebody who's at the lower end of the totem pole. He would have gone home too. Anyway, there are a few people. There were a few people is what I'm saying. Kevin, maybe, but who would have liked to seen him win the veto and keep Cody in the house for a little bit longer. And frankly, this is the point I wanted to make. Ramses is very lucky that Cody has played this so badly and has totally isolated himself in the bedroom with Jessica, because a better player would have gone back to his alliance. Like I said previously on your podcast with you, Taryn, he needed to go to the two showmances and Dominique plus Jessica. That makes six votes. That's a majority this week. Say, look, guys, I screwed up, but you want me in this house too, because you guys are two huge guys. But he never, ever has done that. And his reasoning is he likes Alex. So whatever.
He does like Alex. Alex Kidwell is a great guy. Alex, do you agree? Do you think Ramsey should have tried to win this?
I don't. I think, you know, I would have done everything. You know, somebody asked us this on Twitter and I actually answered it how I felt in the moment. And I still agree. I would have done everything I could have to not be in the position he's in, where people don't trust him. Nobody seems to want to work with him. And when he pops into a room and leaves, like, people take note of it. Like, he's not doing a good job socially. But now that he's in that spot, like, you can't win the game unless you start to build some trust on some level. And the only way I see forward for him to win the game, if you're really trying to win the game, I think you got to take some short-term risk here, and you probably got to lay down I think that's the only way. You got to get in with this group because that's the only path to jury. And once you get to jury, you can make some moves, but you got to get there. So I think, you know, everyone is on board with this. All the nominees, the HOH, I think you just roll with it. I think you got to play into it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if he is going to try to win it, I think he has to tell people first. I think he's got to be like, guys, I'm sorry. I just can't throw a veto. You know, you're just not supposed to do that. I feel like if he had said that from the start, then people, like, I don't think Paul would have respected it, but I think some people would have respected it because how can you legitimately expect somebody to throw the veto? But if they agree to throw the veto and then back out of it, that's what makes you look like really extra shady. So I think the move here is say, look, guys, I'm sorry, but I can't throw the veto. I hope that you guys win, but I can't throw it. You know I can't throw it. It's the dumbest move in Big Brother history to not try to win the veto. Or
my mother would have a heart attack. Yeah, I mean, like,
exactly.
Use that. Yeah. I mean, if you did make that promise, then fine. That, you know, use that. Don't just like kind of throw it out there. But
and then, you know, I think this might turn out well for Ramses if he does win the veto, uses it on himself, and says to Jessica and Cody, guys, I just saved you. You owe me now. We have to work together. He maybe can pick up some allies that way. But it's a tough situation. And honestly, he shouldn't even be in it. This fact that he got this random curse, that is just, it's unfortunate for Ramses, but it's the position he's in. So I do want to say this veto competition was one of the coolest competitions I think Big Brother has ever come up with.
It
right,
was
Alyssa?
So fun. I loved it. I was totally entertained. I felt like it was 50 different competitions in one, and it was everything I wanted. You have the gross food eating, you've got the getting wet and being dunked in a pool of cold water, you've got a maze, a puzzle, you have math, you have everything you need in a competition, and I loved it. I was totally into it.
Yeah, so the basic premise of this, to set it up, is that you press the buzzer, you go through security, and then you go through five different terminals. And in each terminal, there's, I think, five questions or five answers to a single question. And you need to choose the correct answer. And I think the best part about it for me was the fact that the questions were of things that were in the competition. You couldn't study for it. Kevin Martin could not, study for an entire season and win every single one of these because you had to be paying attention to your surroundings in the competition. And it had a learning curve. After you pass those people on the right in the first terminal and you understand that the question is, how many people did you just pass? You're like, oh, okay, I need to start paying attention. And the people who are able to pick up on that quickly are the ones that are going to be able to get through the competition. And I just think that's really cool. And then add on top of that, that there's a challenge for every question you get wrong. There's five answers instead of just two. So you can't get lucky and just pick a random one and get it right every time. I thought this was really, really well designed. You agree?
I agree. It's really... Oh, sorry.
It's fine. Yeah, see, I waited to get called on this time, bitch. Okay. Yes. I actually thought it was really well designed because it was so visually appealing, and you found like you had people to root for during this competition because you knew that in your heart of hearts, you wanted the Cody plan to go through if you're just a casual watcher of the show. But also, there was some drama to be had in Ramses, and they sure as hell milked the hell out of it during the results when they showed it, then went to commercial, then came back, then reset up again, then showed more faces, then finally showed the results of Paul's run. It was a little bit weird how they had Paul go first to explain everything, and then they showed him last and said he actually went last during the challenge. So again, overuse of Paul, but whatever. I thought it was very, very fun and well done on Big Brother's part, and they also got to use a lot of vetoes that they probably have in storage. Like, you know, that gondola thing was what Ian won during Big Brother 14 during the veto competition. So, yeah, you know, they got some mileage out of that too.
You had to gondola it together. That's a common phrase, right? Alex, what did you think of this competition?
I thought it was really good. I just think it's a shame. It's kind of wasted on, you know, you talked about the learning curve. Like, Paul figured it out after like 3 of 5, and he beat everyone by at least double their time, or in some cases, a lot more. So, what good is a learning curve when nobody learns anything?
Yeah, Paul is literally the only one to do it. It's Paul, and then the other four people all failed every single question, I believe.
Yeah, if this was a test, Paul got a C-, and everyone else got failing grades. Most of them were in like the 20s and 30s.
And the guy that was throwing it turned to like got one question right. Kind of ridiculous.
How dare you fail with a 55, Ramses? You failed too good.
Guessing. It was so annoying. They needed to like... And they'd be like, well, how am I supposed to know how much luggage there was in there? And it's like, just look before you run through. Look at your surroundings and see what's there, because you know they're going to ask you a question about it.
Yeah. And I will say that, I mean, this was like the most Paul-centric segment, I think. We talked about it, how the segment of him doing the veto was probably longer than it took for him to actually do the veto. And I think this has to be the most singularly focused, you know, segment for a player during a competition I've ever seen. He's making a joke at every single round. It's just, it's very, very, it's all about Paul, 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 all the time, Paul. Brent, were you enjoying that?
Yes, I am. You know, I'm enjoying Paul right now. I thought that it was interesting that they included later in the episode, Cody and Jessica, Cody saying, you know, hey, everyone's just going to let Paul walk to the end. Feels like the producers are starting to lean into the Paul is a villain sort of aspect of this. Maybe just like a little bit of foreshadowing there. Yeah, he was, you know, he's a great narrator. Say what you want about Paul, but I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You know, it did seem like Josh, especially toward the end of that episode, he was supposed to be the villain, and it seemed like Paul was supposed to be the good guy there, kind of like, you know, Cody is saying respect to Paul. I feel like Paul is still being played up as our hero, and I think he's supposed to be funny, and I think he is supposed to be a little cocky, but I think we're supposed to enjoy that, because that's good old Paul, right, Alex?
You thought Josh was supposed to be the villain?
Well, in that veto ceremony.
Well,
sure.
I mean, he's certainly explosive, but I saw it a little differently, and like maybe, you know, this is the first time I saw this kind of an edit, and I don't know, maybe this is something you guys saw too, but like to me, it reminded me of like Paulie and Paul from last season, where like they're clearly on the same side, but like one is controlling the game and the other is just like mouthing off, like, you know, yelling at whoever is like doomed about to go home, except this time Paul is the Paulie. And Josh is like in the Paul role. And I feel like that's kind of the way the edit started to paint them this time. Like that was at least my interpretation, seeing like the way that veto ceremony played out.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, Josh is definitely a fun character on the show. He was very good at that Kung Fu, you know, segment of the competition. He really flew through that, right, Melissa?
Yeah. I don't know. I was so sick of Paul by the end of this episode, as much as like, I really liked him last season. I don't like dislike him. I just don't ever like to see someone just running the game and that's it. We just watch them go to the end. With no competition, no nothing, no obstacles, just them going to the end. And I honestly think, see, the thing is, people are like, yeah, but you got to admit he's playing a really good game and he's controlling everyone. He's the puppet master of the season. But here's the thing. I'm not impressed because he's at 3 weeks of safety. If he didn't have these 3 weeks of safety, he'd be on the block because Cody would have put him on the block and maybe he would have gone home that week. We don't know. Like, he totally could have gone home instead of Jillian. So I'm not impressed until he's not safe and then he survives and goes to the end or still controlling people. Once he becomes not safe and he's still doing this same thing, then I'll be impressed. Then I agree to be impressed.
Are you on board with that, Brent?
Yeah, I am too. They didn't really mention any of the temptations, the ringer replacement much, or the fact that Paul's safe. Of course, I know he's HOH, but he's going to be safe next week when he can't play for HOH again. So, they're just kind of glossing over it at this point and trying to make Paul look as good as they can. Like I said, I still thought that there were echoes of him being looked at as somebody, you know, the producers know that the fans don't like the people that are running the game. It's not lost on them that we get really tired quickly of people who are just controlling the house and we start to root for the underdogs. I mean, like I've said on Twitter, I mean, I hate Ramses and I hate Jessica for the most part. I don't really like either one of them. And I find myself rooting for them to win HOH this Thursday because that's just the nature of Big Brother fans. But more than anything, I feel like Paul is getting a pretty good deal from the edit so far.
And well, it's so funny, too, because you point that out. But it's like if the producers did, in fact, know this, why would they keep bringing back fan favorites and setting them up in positions of power to make us dislike them? So it's hard to wrap my brain around because, Brent, you're totally right. Like, they know this. We know they know this. It's played out a lot of times. But then on the other side, like, other thing.
the producers are just like Batman villains. They're like, everybody has to be a villain eventually. We have to turn the audience against everybody.
Yeah, you either play the game long enough to become a villain or you die a hero or whatever. That's exactly what it is. It's like you either get evicted and you never come back on Big Brother and you live to be a hero, or you come back, play again, and you play long enough to become a villain.
And there Whistlenut's last name is Dent. It all adds up.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Well, we figured it out.
He's Two-Face's son. The rodeo clown child. He left at the circus.
Okay, it does appear that Ramses is in a bit of hot water here, because it really looks shady that he got second place in this competition. And even when he was on the feed saying, guys, I swear, I know it looks shady, but I did not try to win that competition. I don't know if any of us believed him at the time. And it's still, even watching it on the episode with him saying it in the diary room, is still hard to believe that he threw that competition. So Paul is very angry about this. A lot of people are very angry about this. Ramses seems like he's in a lot of trouble here, Brent.
Yeah, I think it is what it is. I mean, he was torn. That's the truth. He was torn. He didn't really know what he wanted to do. So he sort of went through the motions of throwing it, and he sort of also tried to win it and do it as fast as he could and have a good time. I mean, that's what happened. Now, in the diary room, he's saying, but I threw this. I'm sure in his mind, he's like, well, I threw it a little bit, so that counts. I tried, I didn't do my absolute best, so I threw it. But that's not what Paul was looking for. Paul was looking for you to time out. That's what Paul asked you to do. Once they learned it was a timed competition, and you didn't do that.
He was like trying to have the best of both worlds by throwing it, but at the same time trying for it, and then it ended up just being a little of nothing, where he just didn't win and also didn't throw it. So what happened?
Alex, is there any way that Ramses can get out of this situation? Is there any way he can get the truth out there?
It's going to be tough, because like no one is inclined to want to believe him. Like, he doesn't really have anyone in his corner. And, if the burden of proof is on you and not on everyone else, then, it kind of falls back on whether or not people want to. And there's just no reason for people to really want to believe him. It's easier to make him a target right now and everyone to like stay at kind of a unified group that they already have, rather than trying to like find a way to incorporate Ramses into their plans moving forward. So, it's one more way that he just kind of, and it's unfortunate. I do feel really bad for him, because it's like, I don't think I have the patience to throw a competition the way it would have been needed to deal. Like, Matt is straight up shuffling like some kind of like old man out there. Like, he's not trying at all. Like, everyone out there is like barely trying. Like, I felt bad for Ramses. It's like, it wasn't going hard, but it's like, what can you do, man? It's tough. He's in a tough spot.
Ramses' whole game is just a gigantic comedy of errors, because it's from being blamed for the $25,000, being blamed for voting out Jillian, having this thing where he tries to throw the competition but fails to throw the competition well, and nobody believes that he tried to throw the competition, so he's still on the block and doesn't win the veto. It's the worst case of all the scenarios. And the fact that he had to be on the block in the first place by getting randomly selected by the curse. Is anybody as unlucky as Ramses is in this game? I mean, this has just been thing after thing for the first 2 weeks of the game. I feel bad for the kid.
Maybe Cameron.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, I was going to say, he's still in the game, so I don't know if I feel too bad for him. And he has ways to get himself out. He just needs to take him. He has still not gone to anybody as of this airing and said, it wasn't me who voted out Jillian. You guys got to believe me. He's never had a conversation with him about it. He's basically just clammed up about it, gone really introverted. And I have been totally critical of that approach, because, just shutting down is not going to solve anything. I'm more of the let's hash it out kind of person.
All right, let's get to the veto ceremony. But before we do, I do want to ask Alex a quick question. Alex, do your lips taste good?
I don't know.
Yeah, what is Jessica's that from? Do. Oh, did he say that?
Can you answer that about yourself? That's frogs, something somebody has frogs, to tell you.
The frogs were making out, and apparently the frogs' lips taste good. So,
Can we also talk about one thing with the veto competition? One last thing before we move on.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to, what were they eating? They were eating pate, and I remember on the feed them saying that they were eating like escargot and like caviar or something. Is what it sounded like, the three things they had to eat? Did they ever clarify it?
Could be.
That was an absurd section of that. I hate being on airplanes, and if there was a sweaty guy leaning on my shoulder and a mean lady next to me, I would be in tears.
I would say really quickly though that Big Brother has gotten very liberal with bringing these randos into these competitions. Like we had the Apple people from the first competition, and I know they did it last year, the year before, the year that Steve, actually it was the year that Steve won, because Shelly won that competition with the breakdancers that came in the backyard and did a routine. And then this one where they have two people just sitting there like, we need two actors to sit here silently during a competition and nuzzle up to these random contestants that come by. That was great stuff. Pretty, I really like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't know where
really
they put funny. Out that casting call, but interested.
It was great. I'm
imagining an entire heist movie where the entire goal is to like knock out and replace the extra in the Big Brother competition so that somebody's friend can secretly take that person's place, be the person that leans on them in the airplane, and then like secretly whisper secrets to them like, oh, don't trust Paul, go after Paul. I want that movie to come out.
But all that food that they were eating and supposedly really disgusted by is like gourmet food. I would love to eat that stuff. I love pate. I love that.
Yeah, caviar out here is like $400 for like a little tin.
Give me nice some. Place. That's crazy. They were like, oh, this is gross. I'm gagging.
Gross.
Not everyone is an elitist like Melissa. Yeah, whatever. And not everyone can handle gourmet food. All right. Let's get to this veto ceremony. It was an explosive one. Or was it? It was kind of explosive. It was very meatball-esque, I guess. That's the most descriptive word I can say, I think. Josh is replaced by Cody on the block. But before that happens, he gives a whole speech. Brent, do you want to walk us through this speech?
Oh, please. I can't walk you through the speech. Basically, he's saying, you know, this is what's coming. You're going to be evicted. You've been mean to me this entire time, even though I've basically invited most of that criticism. No offense. And you've been an asshole this whole time. And this is why you turned your back on your alliance. Nobody trusts you. And that's why you're going home. So it wasn't even a speech to Paul. It was a speech to Cody. And that's what he said to him. And of course, well, Cody responded that you need to change your diaper, which I thought was actually kind of funny. and then when they got into it back and forth, he called him a loser and said, you're going home. You need to hop your ass out of here. Again, maybe it's dawning on Cody now that he's going to be evicted in the frog costume. So, that's victim. Basically what happened. Yeah.
Victim.
Mm-hmm.
It's all total. Victim talk.
Yeah.
This is I feel like a bit of a failed speech here. I don't want to throw any shade, but it reminds me of like a Big Meech speech, where it's just like doesn't quite land the way that you wanted it to.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have a lot of timing. Josh is very, very hyped up, and his accent makes him speak faster than he normally would. Like he's like, look, this is what's happening, and I missed some words in there, and also the timing had a little bit of a timing kind of thing going where you didn't really understand what he said. So yeah, good for him.
Also, I feel like the entire episode was spent with like, oh, whoa, is Cody and Jessica. They are on the out. They are getting beaten up left and right. Yes, we don't like them. Yes, they really overstepped last week. But the entire episode was about humiliating them. They're in frog costumes. And then to have at the very end, Josh like really rubbing it in after Cody wasn't even able to compete, it feels a little off. It feels like this seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
And your sympathies actually might lie with Cody in that moment.
Right. I mean, since this is the ceremony, I guess I'll just tell you, people during the ceremony felt really underwhelmed by it and they felt uncomfortable. They felt like it didn't need to be said. I mean, they're getting what they want. Cody's probably going to be evicted on Thursday. This was just unnecessary on Josh's part. I know Paul pretty much didn't like it.
It was just so cringy. The whole time I was just trying to cover my face. I didn't want to see it because it was just so sad. It was very Zach Rantz-esque without any of like the flair or the funniness. And he also kind of used part of Zach's speech where he was, remember Zach's speech where he was making fun of Devin and he's like, oh, I have my integrity and my loyalty or whatever. And he basically said that exact quote. And it was kind of a weird thing to see, but it didn't sit well. And I thought that it made Cody look good that he didn't react. He didn't start yelling back. He just kind of was like, or, I mean, he did kind of react. He said the diaper comment, but it was just like, you know, whatever. And then when Paul, you know, Paul did a good job, and he basically just said, you know, the checkmate speech. And I thought that was a good speech. And I think that it was, it showed that Cody can take just good competition and take it as a game. And when he told him respect, so I think it made Cody look good and made Josh look real bad.
Alex, what's worse, being a victim or a meatball?
Or a beta.
Or a fruit
loop. Or a snowflake. I don't know. Why do we have to resort to name calling? That's what I want to know. Can't we be better?
Who makes the worst noises, victims or meatballs?
Well, meatballs, I guess it depends, you know. Meatballs, you know, I think, like, my connotation of a meatball is, like, someone who's, like, spending too much time in the gym. And, like, so sometimes, like, those guys are too loud in the gym, you know, like, they want everyone to know they're working out. So it's like, yeah, come on, you know, like, 15, like, keep up with me. Like, so that's pretty obnoxious.
It's like, so, the opposite of a victim noise.
Yeah, right. So they can both be noise. Bad in excess.
Okay, let's get into some questions before we get to the spoilers. We'll take a few. So, Alex, I believe you have those queued up for us. Let us know what the first question is.
Okay. Yeah, wait. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
This is from John Densford. Should we worry about Kevin? Oh, wait, no, that's for later. If Ramsey's Jessica or Jason win HOH, what's their optimal plan? I guess that's kind
Melissa,
of.
What do you think about that?
If Ramsey's who?
Jessica or Jason.
What should they do moving forward?
Well, we talked about it a little on Monday about how they should target either, I guess it was, who was it? It was
I said Dominique and Matt to try to split the alliance down the middle, have different people on both sides campaigning for different people. And when they go in the room to vote and vote against somebody else who's one of their friends is campaigning for, that's going to cause rough feelings. And just like it did this previous week with Christmas, they all said, I don't know how many times I heard Mark and Elena and Raven and Matt say, well, you know, no matter what happens, we all still got to stick together. I mean, that's what we need to do. Okay. We need to stick together no matter who you vote for this week. And you saw what happened. That did not happen. So, you need to split the alliance down the middle with these nominations.
Yes. At the very least,
you could absolutely.
Put up one from each couple. And then you know for a fact there's at least one person on either side of that. And then you side with one of those sides. You pick who has the majority, or maybe you pick who has the minority and you give them the numbers, and then you pick them up as allies because they had to fight against their previous allies to keep their showmance in the game. It's right. Obviously a tricky move to pull off, but and I'm not sure that Jason or any of them have the
I feel like I feel like Mark and Matt is also a good try. I didn't want to put up Elena because unbeknownst to those people, Dominique actually wants out Elena, and Mark actually is willing to vote out Elena. Even I think he said it jury, but he may be willing to do it sooner or later. I don't know, depending, because you know he's been making out with her and having sex and all. I just wanted to put up two people that would really cause the most friction.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good to put up, because I think if Dominique was on the block, I think that Mark would want to keep her, but Elena probably would prefer to keep Matt. So I think that could tear apart Mark and Elena and show Mark that he and Dominique need to go a different direction, because they clearly are siding with Matt and Raven over Mark and Dominique. So I think that could be a real good move, because it would split everybody up, and that's what we need. We don't want a giant alliance running through the house and that's just the end of the game. We need to split them up somehow.
All right, Alex, what's the next question?
Yeah, it's great how we're talking about all these people who weren't even on the show. This question is from Thomas McGee, and I kind of want to get into it. I mean, we touched on it a little bit, and I said I thought this was a scenario where I would. But he wants to know if it's ever a good idea to throw a veto or an HOH. So, I mean, I know, especially like Melissa and Brent, you said you wouldn't throw here. Like, is there ever a situation where you would throw? And if so, like, what circumstances have to be right for that?
I think the difference is that Ramses isn't part of their alliance at all. They don't like him. They don't trust him. They don't want to have anything to do with him. They're just trying to use him for their own purposes this week. But if he was part of the alliance, like say, you know, it was the big group and it was Mark trying to win the veto or Matt or some or Raven or someone. And they were like, just throw it. You know, you're safe. Like, we all love you. Like, you're in our alliance. Then I could see a situation where potentially it might be okay to throw the veto. But if you're on the outs of the group anyway, and they don't plan on drawing you in, they don't want to work with you, they want nothing to do with you, and you're the target for next week, like, forget it.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. But Ramses isn't totally aware that he's actually target numero uno. He might have a suspicion of it, but he doesn't know it outright. So I feel like that's probably why he sort of went along with their plan this week. And also, Cody was, you know, like you've seen on the episode, totally isolating himself in the house. And maybe Ramses feels like, you know, with Cody out of the house, maybe I can actually work with Jessica or, you know, try to get the numbers back on our side. So I don't know. I feel like, is there a time to throw a competition? Of course. There are plenty of times to throw an HOH, specifically early in the season. We saw Dan do that a bunch of times. We saw Kevin do that this year on BB Can, especially if you know that the people who are going to win it are on your side. Also, if you are somebody like who's in the middle of the house, who nobody is coming after, that's the worst time for you to win HOH. So there are plenty of times to win an HOH, less so for a veto.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Dan Giesling do it. He threw a veto competition. Then we saw Jordan Parker attempt to do the same thing, and it didn't work out. So I think there are moments where you can do it, and there are moments where you can't do it. And most of the time, I think you should be trying to win that veto competition. But there are certainly times, especially in the early part of the season, when there's a very set target, I think it's reasonable for you to throw a competition here or there, even when it's the veto, even when you're on the block. I think there is a reasonable, I think Ramses potentially made the right decision by trying to, I mean, obviously he should have been trying to throw it a lot more effectively, but there's definitely a case to be made. And I don't think it's always wrong to throw the, or to try to win the veto when you're on the block. I did see a question on Twitter. I saw it in the corner of my eye from Brendan Viegas. He asked, "Dear LFC of RHAP, many in the BB19 community are still confused about exactly what victim noises sound like. Can you all please demonstrate?"
This is a setup. There's already GIFs being made of all of us. There's already videos being made of all of us. This is just asking for it.
Well, that's just guaranteed that it's happening.
Yeah, I'll just be my normal self. Like, I was doing it previously in the podcast. Like, you know, where people keep interrupting me. I can't talk. No one's listening to me right now. Would you all please shut up? I'm not being heard up from because I'm the one gay guy. Like, for real, just stop ostracizing me from the group. That's a victim noise.
Well, and I think there's the other end of the spectrum as well, which is like the droopy dog from, you know, like classic cartoons, where it's just like, you know, much more subdued, but still very much like me and me. There's a lot of levels to it.
Yeah, the chat room said, just talk like Josh. Josh is a little whiny, and he'll, like, whenever he relates, however he's been wrong to people, he just repeats it over and over and over again to anybody who will listen, and he's always crying through it. Like, he's just like, well, how can I not tell my story? Like, I'm a human being, and how can he say that about me? Like, oh, God, yeah.
I'm a human being!
Well, I know we've beat that to death, but it's the truth. He says it all the time.
I gotta say, when I think victim noise, I am now thinking, the deck was stacked against me. Why don't we just give it to Paul? This is so unfair.
And I see the chat
every
room.
Every chance you got to do that impression.
There's no Josh hate here. I love Josh. He's on my team, and I actually think he's a really good dark horse to win the game. But, like, he does whine a lot. But I still love him as a Big Brother house guest. At least he's trying to win. I'll say that.
Yeah. Where's his heart on his sleeve?
Yeah.
All right, Alex, we have one more question before we move on to spoilers.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of this we covered, and we'll get into some of the spoiler stuff a little later. But how about this question from Matt G? Can Dominique keep up the silent but deadly game she's been playing? Or will Elena get jealous of her friendship with Mark and target her?
Well,
I guess we've touched on that a little bit, right?
Yeah. Given the fact that none of them are in any of the episodes.
Yeah, we think we're probably good for the short term.
She's going to be very silent and deadly.
Yeah, they're very silent. Not so sure about deadly, but they're silent at least.
Yeah, Dominique is, for anyone who is not watching the feeds, these are not spoilers, but Dominique is playing a very quiet game. She's mostly talking to Mark and Elena and focusing her attention on those relationships. She also has a good relationship with Paul. She seems to be playing a good game, but it's hard to really tell what her true intentions are because she may be interested in Mark. She may not be interested in Mark. It's hard to really tell, but she does have potential and we're kind of hoping that she does well here, but I don't know. Brent, what do you think?
In the short term, I think they're fine. I do not feel like Elena's going to target Dominique or Dominique's going to target Elena anytime soon. I feel like it's at least 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like. But when jury comes around, I feel like they're not long for this world, both of them.
It's so weird to talk about this pre-spoilers because I feel like none of this has been on the show at all. Yeah. This is like a preview for what you get when you listen to the spoilers if you don't. There's a lot of stuff happening in the house that you never see. So with that said, let's move on to the spoilers. I deeply apologize. I do not have the spoiler song, but hopefully Scott can edit it in post. So if you're listening to this after the fact, you may or may not hear a spoiler song right about now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. So, let's talk about the spoilers. Brent, can you tell me who's going home this week?
Cody.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, he hasn't campaigned worth a darn. He doesn't care. The fact that Alex is on the block makes it even more problematic because he really respects her, as we have seen on the show. And he's not tried to do anything. He's counting on a battle back or some buyback to get him back in the game. He's tried to set up Jessica with some other people. He's tried to get, ironically, he's tried to get the house to evict a lot of the women. And I'm like, does he realize that the house is looking at Jessica as a ripe, juicy target to get? And they would think it was funny that you would have to compete against her. He wants the house to evict the women so that he can have an easier path potentially during a battle back competition. But of course, I don't think that's exactly what they're doing this year.
Yeah. Melissa, has he made any attempt to campaign to save himself at all?
Well, I got really excited this morning when he started talking with Christmas because I was thinking, you know, this could be something. This could be the start of something. Maybe he woke up this morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give it one last shot. Who knows? But, right after they had their conversation, which I do think went pretty well. I don't know, you know, if Christmas actually like believed anything he's saying, but I thought the conversation went really well. She left for surgery. So it's not like she could have gone around and talked with people and been like, hey, maybe we should rethink things, but.
Yeah, Andy yeah. Heron. That's what you get. Andy Heron's on Twitter saying he doesn't have a problem with her leaving the house like this. That could have been the spark that turned Cody's game around. But Christmas isn't there.
Yeah.
So, bitch, what you got to say now? Uh-huh.
It seemed like he was getting through to her during their conversation when he was saying, you know, that I could work with you to steamroll these people. Like, I could help you out. This wasn't me trying to target you necessarily, blah, 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 his whole explanation. I felt like she was like pretty receptive. And unfortunately, I don't think anything's going to come of it.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Alex?
Yeah. Poor Toady. Cody. Sorry.
I like that.
Brother.
Oh, man, that was good. Okay. So, yes, Cody did make an attempt with Christmas. I agree. I think it did go decently well. He talked about like, hey, you know what? If I come back or if I stay in this house, I'm hitching my ride to Paul because he's going to go far. I made a mistake going after him. I need to hitch my ride to him. And he also suggested to Christmas, you know, the strong women need to work together. And he said, Jessica, Christmas, and who's the third strong? Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those three, yeah. They really need to get together and work together.
Convenient.
And to be honest, I don't think that's a terrible idea for Christmas because she is in kind of a precarious situation with her own alliance. They're not super into her anymore. They see her as pretty expendable. She's a bit on the outs there. And if she did make some sort of secret deal with both Jessica and Alex, I think she could be in a decent spot. Do you agree, Brent?
Yeah, I do agree on that one. Also, I thought it was interesting earlier in the episode where Jessica was talking with Cody and she was like, you know, if you basically she was trying to get him to say you made a mistake. I think that's what she wanted to hear because she's mad. She thinks he's being selfish by going after Paul. He blew up his own game and now he's probably going to be evicted this week. That's how Jessica sees it. She wanted him to say, I'm sorry I did that. because I wanted to spend more time with you. But of course, his answer wasn't that. His answer was, nope, I still would have done it anyway. Just this is perfect the way it's going right now. It's exactly my plan to be evicted. So, yeah, I don't think she was really pleased with that. But that would be a good plan if she could get together with some of the other women in the house and do something interesting. I still think there is a lot of game to be had. I know that everybody is bemoaning the fact that Paul is running everything. But I feel like, well, we're in spoiler section right now, so, you know, we can talk about it. But maybe it'll come up in the questions. I feel like there are rumblings of the house splitting a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, what is this vote going to look like, Melissa? Do we have an idea of where what the vote number is going to be?
I think it's just going to be, what is it? It's 10. I think it's going to be like 8-2, maybe.
Yes.
Because of the hinky vote that's being thrown in. Although apparently Kevin's told people that he's going to throw a hinky vote. So that kind of destroys the whole plan that Paul wanted, which is
right.
to throw some sort of deception
right.
in, like, between the group or whatever, but I don't know.
Right. Kevin's yeah. landed on a little thick. He didn't tell people he was going to be the hinky vote, I don't think, unless he did that today. He told people there might be a hinky vote, but yeah. he didn't say the word hinky vote. He said there might be a random vote coming your way, Ramses, just so you know.
It's like,
but don't worry. Yeah, yeah, he's a little bit too obvious.
Although
there,
I could absolutely see it happening and him and everybody forgetting that Kevin even said that or even just misinterpreting it and being like, yeah, Kevin told me there was going to be a hinky vote. I wonder who it was. And nobody figuring out it was Kevin.
Yeah, no, that would be Karen on BB Can, who saw somebody go into a secret compartment
yeah.
and then wondered who had the secret veto. No, but it does happen on reality shows, so you're right. It definitely could happen. Ramses has already brought up the fact to Alex and to Jason that Kevin did tell him that there may be an extra vote coming his way, but not to worry that he's not the target, which is not true. He is the target going into next week. You know, for those of you who haven't listened to our spoiler section, of the previous podcast, Ramses did finally get off the pot and tell Alex and Jason exactly what I've been campaigning for him to do,
Thank God. Is
tell them that he was not the one who voted to evict Jillian. Mm-hmm. He stayed true, and Kevin is the snake. And Kevin has been spending a lot of time with Paul. Kevin says he implicitly trusts Paul, and he also sold them on it, which we were trying to get him to do on this podcast, by saying, how would that make sense for my game? I've been totally ostracized by that group. If I had actually voted with them, why would they do this to me? If Kevin had voted the way you guys think he voted, Kevin would have been ostracized too, but instead he's up there talking with them all the time. So it finally set in with Alex and Jason that Kevin is a snake. Earlier today, Kevin passed Alex, and Alex was like, freaking snake. So it's there. Like, they know what he's up to.
Yeah.
Now let's see if they can do anything about it. Ramses is at least aware of the fact that he needs to join together with Jessica and Alex and Jason and try to make a move. But
yeah. There's
some resistance.
I was so happy with that conversation last night. I was like, thank you for finally saying it. And thank you to Jason and Alex for actually listening and not
right.
just being like, oh, it's Ramses. He's a liar. I was so glad that they were actually listening. And I wanted to hear more of the conversation. But then Kevin came in and, you know, they had to stop. But it was a great conversation, or at least the start of something going on between them.
Right. And then the key is that they do believe him, that they understand now that it wasn't Ramses. It was Kevin that was the stray vote. I know that Jason says he still wants to talk to Kevin about that, but he knows. I mean, I could see it in his eyes. He knows. I know that you guys were saying on the podcast update earlier today, this morning with Lita, that you don't think that Alex would be willing to do anything about it, even if she won HOH. But I don't think that's true. I know that they are saying that right now, but they're very leery of who they can trust and who, if the other side wins power again, like, let's say that they go to Jessica and make a deal and they say, okay, we're going to do something together. But then the other side wins power again. They're afraid that Jessica's going to run to them and say, you know, he tried to make a deal with me and try and throw us under the boat. So everyone's playing their cards very close to the vest. I do feel like if Jason, Alex, Ramses, or Jessica wins head of household, that they're going to go after the other side of the house. I don't feel like they're going to eat one of their own.
I think no one wants to say anything until HOH is
yes.
determined.
Yeah. We need an HOH.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, this does get us into the question that I grabbed from the wrong sheet from John Densford earlier, which is, does Kevin need to be worried about after this morning's events? And it's possible. Like, he wasn't on anyone's radar before, and now he's certainly you know, people are aware that, you know, he might not be as innocent as they thought he was at first glance.
Although at the same time, I mean, I don't see them targeting him anytime soon. I feel like they're going to save him. Maybe he'll have to worry about it later. Maybe people will trust him less. But at the same time, I don't see this really him being in danger right now.
Yeah, and Alex is still very reluctant to actually work with Jessica. She said earlier today on the feeds that she just wishes she knew for sure who voted where, because then if she knew for sure, then she could be a little more confident moving forward with what she needs to do. But she just can't trust Jessica. She feels like Jessica flipped on her own alliance. Why wouldn't she flip on us? I don't think she likes Jessica very much. There's a lot of bad blood there still from the first week. So it's hard to see her actually moving forward with this plan, although hopefully she would if she actually did win. But I don't think she should win. I think she should stay out of the HOH room as much as possible, because I don't think anyone's coming for Alex yet. I feel like they're going for Jessica or Ramses first, which isn't too much skin off of her back. She can slide by a couple more weeks before having to make a huge move. And hopefully that big alliance will start to crumble and turn on each other. And, you know, hopefully that's what she does. But it seems like she does want to still win HOH, and she does want to potentially target Jessica. So
they would talk her out of that. Again, I just feel like everyone's being a little wet blanket about this. Like, I feel like even if Alex wins HOH, I do feel like Ramses will knock some sense into her and say, no, we cannot do this, and this is the reason why. But I don't know. Stranger things have prevailed.
Yes. All right. Another thing happened on the feeds today. Very unfortunate. We had another injury. And not only was it another injury, it was another foot injury.
It's so
this is ridiculous.
Insane.
Dropping like flies.
There's a curse on the house.
Yes. I swear. It's okay. So production, they took the temptation of having too many twists. And now all of the house guests are cursed because of it. Because the curse doesn't fall on the person that took the temptation. It falls on the house guests. So all of them are, you know, they have this curse. There has to be at least one foot injury in the house at all times. And so the second Christmas left for surgery, if you haven't been paying attention to the feed updates, Christmas is in fact gone from the house. She left earlier today. She will be back tomorrow. She's getting surgery. I believe she's probably recovering by now. But Christmas is out of the house. So there needs to be another foot injury. And Raven took that opportunity to be like, oh, I'll volunteer. She fell on the spiral staircase. We didn't see the actual fall, but she hit her head.
We
hit
heard
her elbow,
it.
And oh yeah, it was a loud noise. And her foot was bleeding, and they had to carry her into the DR. This is ridiculous, Melissa.
Yeah, now she has to get stitches. It's insane.
Yes,
stitches is like, that's a serious injury. Like, apparently she split her toe on the railings, the stairwell. Like, that's, I know. Thinking about it, I just kept imagining just like toes splitting. I don't like it, any of it. So I feel bad for her. It makes me really nervous about everyone in the house, because not only that, I mean, Mark hurt his finger, I think somebody else hurt their I just feel like everybody's getting hurt, and everyone needs to be extra careful.
Well, we're gonna have like water competitions where half the house is sitting out because they can't compete.
They'll all have casts.
And I tweeted this out earlier, like, when somebody's going to come out of the HOH room, who wants to see my HOH room? And it's going to be like Hacksaw Ridge. They're going to have to like carry like half the house up those stairs. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I will say, like, you know, Rob, for whatever reason, CBS randomly sent Rob like some props from last year. And he has like some of those bones from like the like Game of Bones puzzle veto that Paul won. And it's a great example, I think, because you watch it on TV and these look like little plushy things that they're able to just like build with. No, these things are hard and heavy and not hollow at all. Like, the props they have are dangerous and painful and like heavy. Like, I don't understand why we don't like put a little more effort into like plushifying some of this stuff and put it in a way where like we're not going to like injure so many people. But it is like, it's crazy how many people are getting hurt. And I mean, yeah, it's Edmo. I had a question also on Twitter where like, should they replace the stairs with an elevator? I think it's an interesting point. Like, they're very responsive to the needs, right? Like, after somebody had an issue with a knife, they replaced all the knives with butter knives and everything's plastic. So now that someone's had an issue with the staircase, is it elevator time?
Can you imagine if they put an elevator in there and they had a camera in the elevator and there was like people just going up and down in the elevator just to have like discussions and like strategy talks.
Yeah, or even just a lift where you could just stand there and while it slowly moves, just like.
Somebody would injure themselves on that too. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't be good.
They were saying on Twitter that we need to put him in a padded room. Just like make the whole Big Brother house padded.
Yeah, I mean, they need to just like bubble wrap everything. Because, you know, they had to tell people, you're not allowed to ride on Jason's back anymore.
Yeah, because they were still doing it. Like, why?
Yeah,
and but like, what are they going to do now? Like, you're not allowed to walk up the stairs. Like, what are they?
Yeah, come on, this is overreacting, you guys. It's been 17 or 19 seasons of Big Brother. This is the first idiot that injured herself on the freaking staircase and split her toe open. Like, come on, what are we doing here? We're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist, just like Washington right now. Okay, just stop it.
You saying this stuff might curse them even more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's they brought in spirits and evil you know, voodoo elements when they added the Den of Temptation upstairs.
Yeah,
that's
those voodoo dolls.
Yeah.
Can't mess with voodoo.
Some bad mojo.
That's right. They actually physically made voodoo dolls of these people. Why are we surprised that bad things are happening? That's a great point.
They look at Raven's voodoo doll. And it's got like a broken foot. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, Den of Tempting Fate. That's what this is.
I'm telling you guys, they've done Ouija boards in the house. You know, there's some nasty stuff going on there. They shouldn't be tempting fate like that.
Yeah.
Alex, if you want to prepare some questions, we'll get to those very soon. I have a question for you guys. Who do you think, if you had to predict now, who do you think is in the most danger of going home next week? Brent, can we start with you?
Ramses, definitely. I feel like more people are looking at Jessica as a non-threat who's just kind of pathetic. And they're also looking at Alex as somebody who wants to be part of the group now. Josh has even gotten in most of people's good graces, even after that whole veto fiasco. I feel like Ramses is number one target and Jason is number two target for obvious physical reasons. But Ramses is seen as a snake by much of the house, and more than anybody, Ramses needs to win head of household and alter the course of this game.
You agree with that, Melissa?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Ramses is in the most danger, then Jason. I think that they're next on the chopping block, unfortunately.
You on board with that too, Alex?
Yep. Cue up that sound effect.
Okay. How about this one, though? Who would you like to see go home next week more the most, Brent?
Between everybody or just...
Yeah, if you had your pick of the litter, like, what would be the most exciting for you?
The most exciting? Oh, I don't know. That'd be tough. I mean, I'd like Paul to go home, but he can't. So I've actually, I would like Christmas to go home because I'm sort of tired of dealing with this. I would love for Jessica to win HOH, target Christmas, get her ass out of here so I don't have to see her clunking around on those crutches anymore. Like, bitch, you're injured. Go home. Like, go home. Come back next year. Thank you for playing. Bye. Like, that's what they did on RuPaul's Drag Race. A contestant injured their knee and was like, you know, you just can't do it. You can't rock down the runway, but you have an open invitation to come back next year. And she was like, okay, out of here. But they don't do that with Christmas. They're forcing her to stay there, I feel like.
I can imagine Christmas listening to this podcast, listening to you saying, I'm tired of dealing with this, and her being like, I was the one with the broken foot.
Yeah, you were also the idiot horsing around on Ride a Horse. But ride a cowboy, whatever the hell.
Yeah, Melissa.
Well, to make a lot of noise. And
well, who would you like to see go home next week?
I'd like to see Raven go home because I'm sick of people saying they're playing the game for Raven and they want her to win and that she deserves the money and all that. And I feel like once you get rid of that element, then people will be more willing to play for themselves.
God, I had no idea the LFC were such, you know, so against women with injuries. Yeah, we just want to kill them off.
Here's some of their misery. Too many victims.
Here's my whole thing, right? If she left now and took the time to recover and came back with her following, she'd be cleaning up on BBOTT2. That's all I'm saying. I'm just going to say that. That's it.
Yeah, but is it worth it? Even if you do clean up on BBOTT2?
It's debatable.
I don't know. Hey, I don't think Morgan Willett, the winner of BBOTT, was complaining about $250,000. I'm just saying. Right. So, yeah.
All right.
I don't know about the runner-up, though. I don't know.
I see the damage it's done. She's seen some things that being in that BBOTT house.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't they find crackles in the house last week or something? Like, what's this doing here? Like, oh, it's a long story.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
You're not allowed to touch the crackles.
Oh my God. They left Neely's hat in there. That's where the curse is coming from.
It's so funny how they're always finding like Meech's extensions and all kinds of just like, it's like, yeah, they clean it, but not barely. Well. Yeah. Go ahead. Turn around.
Yeah. All right, Alex, do you have a question for us?
Sure. Okay, so yeah, here's this question from Ian. So why is Ramses a snake for trying to win POV, but Paul isn't for trying to get him to throw it when Ramses is clearly the plan B?
That's how the Big Brother house works.
Yeah, it's good rhetoric. Paul, you know, yeah, granted, Paul's safe, but Paul's doing a good job of making sure that Ramses is really like numero uno target, because you know, he gave him an opening to say, look, this guy said he's going to throw it. And then he went out and tried to win it. And he's also saying, look, if that was him trying to throw it, I would hate to see what he was, what time he was going to put up if he actually tried to win it, which is actually a really good point. So it just makes Ramses look like even more of a juicy target. And Paul, of course, to our eyes, is a bit of a snake because we know what he's doing. But in the house, he's just playing the game. And you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I do think that veto competition proves that Ramses is, in fact, our stereotypical super fan, and he will do very well on those late stage competitions.
Oh, yeah.
If they let him get there.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact it's very difficult. I mean, Steve Moses is one of the few people who tried to throw a competition and won it. And now we're getting hints of that with Ramses as well. So you got to watch out for him if he stays in that game. Alex, do you have another one?
Okay, from Matt. Is Paul's overuse of the checking in strategy going to hurt his game long term?
He is very overbearing. I will say that. Melissa, what do you think?
Like, do they mean checking in with people?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that people aren't going to like that. They're going to be like, okay, now he's watching over me. I don't like it at all. He's trying to control me. But if you give subtle hints and subtle checking in, he just makes it so obvious. If you do it subtly, then people won't be thrown off by it. But if you're so overbearing, it just throws people off.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's working right now because people are feeling vulnerable. They're kind of clinging to Paul as this mentor. You know, I'm just going to let Paul guide me in this game. But the longer this happens, and the more, you know, the more they see Paul as another player in the game that's actually vulnerable to be evicted, I think they're going to start to go like, well, why are you telling me what to do? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I agree that this is in my best interest anymore. I'm starting to question this. And then if he continues, then they'll be like, okay, hold on. Now I'm getting pissed.
Yeah, but his safety has to end first. I mean, more than anything, I feel like that's the part that sucks, because even if we do get a miracle, Ramses or Jessica, HOH, they can't go after Paul. Paul's totally safe during his outgoing HOH week. So, and then he gets to compete for HOH again. So, you know, it's going to, Paul, you might as well get used to Paul. Paul's going to be here for a few more weeks.
Maybe the curse of the halting hex will be like the Paul prevention.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible.
Palette.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible.
And then he ends up on the block.
Don't even put that in the universe. Oh, yeah. If he ends up on the block, that'd be great. But I was like, Paul's about to be evicted, and someone enacts the halting hex.
Oh, I'd
throw my TV in the street.
No, I mean whatever curse like goes along with the halting hex. Maybe it's something that like undoes Paul's last week of protection or something. I don't know. I'm reaching, dude. I'm reaching.
Stephanie in the chat does point out there is an endurance comp on the feeds tomorrow night after the.
Well, that's what they said. See, no. Yeah, don't believe it. They called this last one an endurance competition.
And
it was over.
It was over the second the feeds came on.
Surely they're not going to do it twice in a row to us. Surely this is a real endurance.
Okay.
Only
well,
Big
maybe
Brother
they know.
Can call ski ball an endurance challenge.
Right. I saw that Cody was telling Jessica on the feeds today that, you know, he was like preparing her for an endurance competition. He's like, you know, just like you really have to focus. Like just picture like if your family member was dying or something like that. I'm like, oh, this is like totally. He's not a psycho at all. Yeah. Okay. Good one, Jessica.
I'm at my most focused when I'm imagining a family member dying. That's exactly how it works.
Oh, God.
I'm not making any victim noises when my
family... Yeah, remember, they call the slip and slide endurance as well. Although that one wouldn't be bad right now, frankly.
Yeah. Another thing I think we should bring up, there was a picture that was floating around the internet around the time the cast was announced of Raven and Paul together. She met him at one of his concerts, I believe, and she actually was talking to Matt, I believe earlier today, maybe it was yesterday, about the fact that she actually, it's a little more than just having met him at a concert. Alex, can you fill us in on this?
I mean, it sounds like this was something that had been speculated on for a while, right? I mean, the picture circulated on Reddit. I want to say, like, I mean, it was certainly week one. It was like, two or three days into feeds, I want to say. And a lot of people are speculating on it. You know, it was a lot of conversation about, like, what does this mean? Not necessarily anything. She could have just been someone that went to a concert. Like, Paul probably doesn't even necessarily remember. It probably wasn't a big deal. This to me, really, I mean, it's just confirmation that it actually is potentially a reason why they're working together. Like before, I think it was all speculation. There was no reason to think that this was anything more than like a fan who took a picture with Paul. But the way she frames it now, the way she's using it as a talking point in the house, I think you just have to like operate with the assumption that this is going to be something that's going to keep Raven close to Paul moving forward, probably.
Yeah, and I believe what happened was this photo was leaked before Paul was sequestered, before any of the cast, I think, was sequestered. So Paul actually had the opportunity to get in contact with her preseason, which, you know, I don't know if I like that very much.
Great.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a shoddy work on Big Brother's part. I mean, I guess maybe there's no way they could have known about this, but you have to feel like that they asked Raven during the casting process, you know, did you watch last season? Who did you like? You know, and she would have probably brought this up. So I don't know. I don't like it, but maybe it was just unfortunate. And I still don't feel like that. In the long run, it's really going to affect things, because if you're going after Raven, you're going after Paul and vice versa, I feel like, because they're really together right now. And I feel like that's going to happen sooner or later. And by the way, really quickly about what Melissa said about Raven. If she could pick a person to be evicted, she would pick Raven. I'm actually cool with Raven staying in the house, because I guarantee you this whole thing with, you know, we want Raven to win. That's going to go away at some point. It's going to weigh like final seven, final six. They're going to start to smell the money, and I look forward to it when they all become evil people and decide, you know what, this is a game, and I want to win it. And I want the money more than I want Raven's friendship, and I want Raven to have healthcare. So I'm going to win the money, not you. Yes, that'll be glorious.
You imagine Matt standing up at like final four, having to like cast a vote to evict her to her face. Like, oh, sorry, I didn't want to do it.
And it's some breaking news happening on the feeds right now. Jason and Alex are having a conversation. Jason is saying, if I win, I'm putting Matt and Dominique up on that block.
Oh my God.
Jason, I love you.
That's great.
You're brilliant.
Whistle nuts.
You're brilliant.
I declare.
we may end up seeing Alex talk him out of it, but at least it's being thrown out there now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something happening.
I'm surprised that's even an idea that they're having, because I've figured it's like too obscure.
That's like some weird telepathy bullshit happening there. I'm just telling you.
That's great.
Whistling that nut.
We need Jason to win.
All right, Alex, do we have one more question before we wrap this up?
Oh, sure. One more.
Just really quickly about that. But I don't know if I trust him, though. See, I trust Ramsey's more. I trust Ramsey's to do the right thing here and know what he has to do. I feel like Paul could schmooze Jason enough to get him to alter his target and put one clown up on the block, like a Josh or somebody that Paul doesn't totally care about. So I'm nervous about that.
Somebody just tweeted at me, Norman Pelloway on Twitter. This is the season of Paul. The spoiler section should be renamed to the Soiler section.
No more soil.
Where's that taboo buzzer?
No, we need a bell.
Yeah, and somebody else in the chat room is asking us to name the alliance. We're not naming the alliance until the house names an alliance. Right now, they're just the majority alliance. That's who they are. That's fine.
We'll name it when it cracks and disintegrates.
Yes.
Implodes in front of them.
Believe me, it's going to crack, and they're going to name themselves. And then we'll have it. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay, this is something I guess we have to touch on this. So let's do this. Mr. Robot Taryn, what if Christmas doesn't come back for the live show? Will production cast a vote for her? So we haven't talked about this possibility. As far as we know, everything's fine there. But what do we have any insight on what might happen if Christmas isn't back in time for the show tomorrow night?
I think 100% the eviction gets canceled.
I think so too. Yes, they've already lost a house guest. They can't lose another. I feel like there's no way they'll just say, look, they'll just straight tell, I mean, I don't know if they'll tell them anything, but they'll just say, tell the house guest, look, we already lost one house guest. We can't lose another. So this is going to have to be this week's eviction. Sorry, Paul. Girl, bye. And plus, yeah, they know that Cody is a valid villain. So, they like to keep him in the house, all things being equal.
Yeah, I think as much as they love Paul, as much as they are trying to protect Paul, I think that the idea of Cody staying last minute is going to provide a lot of drama. And Paul's safe for another week anyway, so it's not that terrible for them. And I think 100% they will cancel the eviction, both in terms of their timeline with how many people should be evicted at this point, and in terms of it makes the best television. I think it makes sense on all angles. So
The question, no, I do not believe they would cast a vote for Christmas if she didn't come back, and somehow they didn't say that she was out of the game. I feel like that she just wouldn't be voting that week.
Follow up from Eric Stein in the chat room. Could Keith from Big Brother 13 re-enter the game via the Den of Temptation?
That would be great. That would be great. Keith's fun.
Where's my angels?
Yeah, Keith's angels finally coming into play. They would have to be Luan, right? I feel like Luan should come back to the Temptation more than Keith should.
Yeah, that's definitely the magic thing happening there. His magic powers. Yeah,
the 6-year delay.
Yeah,
I do feel like Keith would make for better television.
Yeah, yeah. Luan didn't do anything. He just sat around. Yeah,
yeah. All right, that is our recap of the Wednesday night episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This has been a fun one. Rob will be back tomorrow night to recap the live eviction, and hopefully we'll get to do some live commentary on that endurance competition in the spoiler section. Make sure you check out Big Brother, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary on robhasawebsite.com. Go back to those old seasons. It's a lot of fun. And make sure you check out my American Ninja Warrior podcast. We're still going strong. It's a lot of fun. We talked to some athletes. It's a great time. I also have a new podcast in the works. It'll be released next week, so be on the lookout for that. My first interview is with none other than Rob Sesternino himself. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That should be fun.
I had a really awesome conversation with him. I got to talk about a lot of stuff that I was really interested in and fascinated about. So make sure you check that out. What is this series about
that you're doing, that you're starting with Rob?
So I am going to be interviewing reality TV people, whether that means people from RHAP or people from Big Brother or Survivor, you know, who knows? It's a long form interview podcast. So if you enjoy those, make sure you keep an eye out for that. And I will let you know some more details as they come. Make sure you... Oh, we cannot forget the hashtag, because I feel like we have a lot of good hashtags. So in the chat, you can put some out. But I think
Cody
is on the top of the leaderboard for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So it's T-O-A-D-Y, I think. I think you gotta spell it out as Toad, Toady. So Plushify is good too, but I like Toady. So let's do Toady. You can find us on Twitter. Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. And I am at Armstrong Taren. Make sure you tweet at us. Go to robhasawebsite.com, leave some comments, subscribe to the podcast. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you tweet at us with the hashtag.
I was going to ask you, so the show tomorrow, is Rob back? And do you happen to know who the guest is and who's with him tomorrow? Or do you not know? Does anybody know? Alex?
So it's me and Rob and Colin Stone. And I mean, we can figure it out. Maybe one of you guys can jump on there with us as well.
No. I mean, I don't need to be with it. I mean,
I jumped on your show tonight. We can talk about it after the show.
No.
Colin Stone will be great. Podcast. Always a good guest. And Alex, I do believe you also recorded the Fear the Walking Dead mid-season finale podcast recently.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did it on Facebook Live, and then it's up on iTunes. And yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on post-show recaps, which has a new website that's linked to Rob Has a Podcast, which is really cool. Looks really good. So there's a bunch of Game of Thrones stuff up there now. Like, we're recapping season 6 because season 7 starts on Sunday. So a lot of good stuff to check out over there if you are into scripted anything. Spider-Man recap as well that Josh and Andrew just did.
Yes, such a good movie.
All right, thank you guys for joining us so much. Make sure you tweet at us with the hashtag Toady. Thanks so much for joining us. We will see you next time.